This podcast contains adult themes, language, and situations. Listener discretion is strongly advised. Well, greetings and hello to all the pups and the pup lovers listening in. I am Barely Normal.
Bark, bark, bark. I am Canes.
Bark, I'm Lutzen.
All right. And you are listening to... What the hell are you listening to? Oh, you're listening to Off Leash. You're listening to Off Leash. Definitely NSFW, which is not safe for work podcast about human puppy play and sexual kinks and all consensual. Today's subject is going to be headspace. We're going to talk a little bit or a lot about headspace, how you get into it, what you do with it, why you have to get into headspace, or do you have to get into headspace? All these questions shall be answered and many more will rise up as we talk about headspace. So I'm going to start with Loki. Loki. What do you think I said? How would you define headspace?
Headspace is kind of like a, it kind of changes for everyone, right? So for the majority of people that I know that are puppies, it's more of like an escape from reality. And I feel like that is a pretty good generalized statement to say. So pups, headspace specifically, right? Puppies, little kids, things like that, right? They don't really have anything that they require to do, right? Any major things that they have to look after, like paying bills or washing dishes, things like that, right? Until they get a little bit older.
Okay.
So in that sense, it's more of like an escape from reality. So you can kind of wind down and get out of all the stresses of life and you don't have to deal with them. So for headspace specifically of puppy, right? It's instead of having to deal with all the negative things that happen in life and dealing with all of the kind of upsetting things in life and stuff like that, a lot of times some puppies will use the headspace as a coping mechanism, right? If they're dealing with something that's really bad, like potentially a death, right? Or losing their job or something like that, right? Some really heavily negatively impacting event or situation that's going on, a lot of people will get into headspace, at least partially, if not all the way, you know, they will go into that headspace so that way they can kind of relax and not have to worry about everything that's going on. Obviously, I don't recommend going into headspace when it's not safe to do so, right? Because you're not going to be able to look after yourself as well as what you can outside of headspace because, you know, you're focused on one thing usually, right? You're focused on the exact task at hand, not your surroundings, not what's going on, things like that. So it's definitely more personally immersive and it can be dangerous in certain circumstances when you're not in a safe environment. That's really the most important thing is when you get into headspace to be in a safe environment. So it really is more like an escape from reality for the most part.
So would you say headspace is more of a personal thing as opposed to a group thing, or can you be in a headspace with a group of other puppies?
So, it can be personal or it can be group, right? So when it comes down to it, a lot of times, unless you're always around puppies or whatever the case may be, that would be the consideration of more, or the situation, I apologize, of more individualized headspace, because you don't really have a lot of people to interact with, if anyone, but it can be a group mentality, right? for the people that play like Magic the Gathering, right? There's there's buffs on a few of the cards that are called pack mentality, right?
Okay.
Which basically means that in a pack mentality, you have multiple people that can either give looks or, you know, hand movements or something similar to like that, right? That kind of gets everyone on the same page of what they're doing. So in the case of like an actual like wolf, right, in the woods, because that's more direct to pack mentality opposed to generalized like bio dogs or pets, because of its being a more carnal thing, usually it's usually used in like hunting, right? So they'll gather a few of the wolves of the pack that have been collected, which is not a great term for human puppies, but
okay, yeah.
For wolves,
I'll tell you the story about collecting pups later, but yeah,
understood. For wolves, right? They communicate, and for anyone that's prior military, they'll probably kind of understand where I'm going with this. They'll communicate either verbal or hand movement signals, things like that. Obviously, there are going to be more like looks and sounds when it comes to actual like biologically, you know, canine based animals in the Lupin family. But outside of that, in human puppies, it's usually like at moshes or like large pup meets. There is kind of like a pup mentality thing that goes across the board where people can kind of like give looks or things like that. So like the vibe check kind of things like that, which I've only been to like two pup meets outside of cons. So Canes would probably be a better person to explain like the exact situation when it's interacting with multiple puppies, opposed to like one-on-one types of things, because that's usually what I focus on. But yeah.
So Canes, what would you say is headspace, and how, let's for example say you have somebody that texts you on Telegram and says, hey, I like puppies, how do I become a puppy? What is this headspace thing all about?
Okay, so a lot of times I actually get this asked quite a bit, actually.
Do you? Okay.
Yes. Wow. Like,
there you go.
Tremendously. This exact actual question.
Wow.
And most of the time it's like, hey, you know, I find these pups really like really hot. Like, how do I become one, or how do I, you know, get one, or, you know, blah, 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 blah. They're usually wanting to
sexualize it.
Yeah. Very sexualize the pup space. And so I, you know, kindly educate them. But I actually have something that I usually read to them or type to them. But basically, the way I put it is, if you ever have had like a dog or a cat, and you come home from a work day, and you're, you know, going to feed this animal that you are taking care of, and you have you ever wondered, man, that's such an easy life, living as a dog or a cat. Like, they get their food, they lounge around all day, they, you know, don't have a care in the world, and that's kind of what a headspace looks like, as far as what like the headspace in pup play. It's basically characterizing a pet more so than a human. So you're not doing a whole lot besides whatever you're told, you kind of just roam around, and you can play fetch, you can, you know, do all sorts of things. And we'll talk about, you know, triggers. I use the word triggers just because it's people kind of understand what that means when they, it's just a very general term.
Well, it is a very general term. And for the most part, when you hear somebody say I was triggered, it's usually a negative thing.
Yes, but this is going to be a positive.
Positive triggers.
Which yes. I like positivity in my life.
yes. It's so much easier.
So
and better for you.
Basically, what we call a headspace, that's kind of what we're talking about, is that headspace of being a pet and not really doing a whole lot besides just what they're told, you know, sitting, watching TV. Like there's some pets that basically want to be footstools for their handler. Or, mm-hmm. you know, just a cuddle buddy, basically, where they come home from work, they get in that headspace, and then they just want to unwind and be mm-hmm. Very, very focused on just, you know, being taken care of. Mm-hmm. And, you know, lounging around. My ex-wife
like that. She didn't do shit all day, and then she expected me to take care of her when I came home from work. It's like, no, that's not going to happen.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there is a lot. Like, a pup can do, and this is something else, too, that, you know, a lot of times pups turn into, like, a service pup or, like, a
houseboy.
Yeah, houseboy, kind of in a way. But a mm-hmm. service pup will actually, you know, take care of other pups, will also like look after other pups or like be mm-hmm. like kind of like an alpha in some circumstances, but at the same time still have that pup tendencies mm-hmm. of being a good boy. Mm-hmm. And also something that I wanted to talk about as well is the pup headspace or the pup play is not bestiality.
Right.
A lot of times that is confused, especially on like Grindr. I get a lot of text messages on Grindr like, oh, you fuck dogs. I would never hang out with you. I'm like
no.
Okay, buddy. No. That's not the case.
No, this is human puppy play. Totally different.
Totally yes. different.
Totally different.
So yeah. there's definitely a lot of ways of getting in headspace, and it's not a cookie cutter mm-hmm. thing at all.
Right.
And we're just going to talk about some things that can happen or how to trigger them.
Right. Well, now you were talking about being a service pup. Loki was pointing at himself dramatically. So I'm yes. guessing that Loki then is a service pup
yes,
to
he is.
Some extent.
Okay. And this is what he was trained in, actually.
Okay. All right. So there you go. So, excuse me, getting into headspace, how does one get into headspace? You mentioned triggers, you mentioned alphas, littles, this and that, and all the other kind of things. And so how do you get into a headspace? Now, I know, so let's take it from a sexual standpoint. I know that if I'm going to have a hookup, my headspace is I'm going to have a hookup.
So, yes.
I mean, so exactly.
Bouncing you know, wow, wow. Let's do it.
Bouncing wow, that kind of stuff. Right. Yeah. So, you know, I take care of things. I make sure that things are right and everything like that. And then, so is that kind of the same thing as getting into headspace as a pup? I mean, do you, maybe not. I'm throwing darts at a dartboard.
No. So you can get like, there's a bunch of different triggers. Sometimes it can be like a smell. Being called, you know, good boy, girl, puppy, getting, petting, like on the belly, head, chin, back, behind the ears, mm-hmm.
Right.
Cuddling with someone that you trust, playing fetch. It can be gear that you have on. It can be, being on all fours, barking, wagging tail, chemical stimulants like, weed, nicotine, alcohol, and others, of course, mm-hmm. Scents.
Others.
Yes. So we're not going to go into others.
No, we're not going to go into others. So everybody knows about others enough. So
yes, yes. And toys and stuffed animals. There's all sorts of different ways to get.
Canes, I have to say, I'm almost tempted to record the video of our session because Loki is being quite animated in the background. Now, when you were talking earlier, you were petting his, you literally had your hand and you're yes. petting his ear.
Yes.
Loki, did that put you into a headspace? Because I noticed that your attitude changed a little bit now because you were petted just recently?
I would say that I'm partially in headspace, yes.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So I just, there you go. There you go. So that's kind of your trigger then, is to be petted, paid attention to, that kind of stuff.
The paid attention to is the biggest thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's, again, that's kind of, can be some like examples of brattiness. Mm-hmm. So when there's a bratty pup, usually they're wanting that attention. And when you,
and any attention, whether it's negative, yes, or positive, yes, just correct, getting attention.
Correct. Yes. Exactly. And
but is it more role play?
So it can be in some regards, but it also doesn't need to be.
Okay. All right. Because I mean, if somebody was in my room doing to me what Loki is doing to you right now, I'd be rather pissed off. So, but he's just being a brat pup to you right now.
Yes. He's just poking and trying to get attention. Basically.
I think he's going to get some discipline later on.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Oh,
yes,
okay. Well, there.
But in the good way. In the good way.
Well, yes. But again, all consensual. All.
Oh, yes.
All the same. All right. So does a handler have to get into headspace too?
No. So a handler a lot of times doesn't actually get into headspace. And that's because of the safety reasons involved. Okay. So like we were talking a little bit about like the pup events or like a mosh where you can see a bunch of pups and they're not necessarily in pup headspace, or some of them might be in headspace. Some of them might be just, you know, walking around and talking to other pups and other handlers. The handlers, though, a lot of times you'll see this where they'll be talking, but they'll be looking past you every once in a while to look at where their dog, where their puppy is, or dog, and basically checking in on them. And this doesn't necessarily mean that the handler just has to be watching all the time.
Right.
This is just more of every once in a while, the puppy will just look and check on the pup and see if they're doing good, if they're needing something. And again, that's the communication that happens well before any of them go to a pup mosh together. A lot of times with me, when I introduce a new pup into the headspace and into things, we do it one on one. We don't do it at a loud venue because you want that pup to be focused on that one thing. And try to get them to visualize and be in that headspace first so that they can go in and out of it more easily. The more you do it, the better, like the easier it is to come in and out of.
So it takes a little training. I mean, I would assume.
Oh yes, very much so.
Okay. So you can't just like, you just wake up and say, I'm in puppy headspace. Hello. Bark, bark. It doesn't work that way. Or can it? I mean,
I would definitely say that it is. So I guess the best way to explain it is that it could be considered. So like there's muscle memory, right? So you do something so often that you have muscle memory from it. You don't really think about doing it. It's the way I am with Rubik's cubes.
okay.
Cool. But that being said, there's also like, it's kind of weird to say it, but like mental memory. Right. So muscle memory, but for your brain, for like headspace or for like remembering like, oh, I need to do this thing for work. Right. But I haven't done it in like 5 years, but you start doing it. Right. And then you remember everything.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? Like you'll start doing it, not remembering jack shit. And then like a couple minutes into it, you're like, oh, I remember how to do this completely. It's there is kind of like a thing like that with headspace. But it is a little different than that. It's not just like memory recall, I guess would be the best statement.
All right.
Because headspace is not necessarily memory. It's more like a mental state, if that makes any sense.
So this is going to sound highly insulting, but is there a certain level of intelligence that makes it more or less difficult to get into puppy headspace?
Actually, what I found is that the more brain you have, the more you're able to actually turn it off.
Really?
Yes. So
that's kind of opposite of, I don't know if you're familiar with hypnotism or not.
Yes, correct. So it's kind of the same thing, but it's a little bit opposite because
right.
It's self-inflicted. So like you're causing your own brain to kind of shut off, in a way. Okay. And that's why people enjoy it so much. And that's why the community has grown so much, because people are starting to figure out this headspace and are starting to come in and out of it. And they're going, oh, wow, this is like completely not just sexual. This is like an actual headspace that I can go into to relax.
Okay. I'm going to say something. Now, you live in California.
Yes.
Do you think that microdosing might have something to do with this headspace stuff? I'm just asking. That seems to be all the rage, is microdosing LSD and all these other things. Do you think that might, I mean,
so
seriously, you said other stuff. I mean,
yeah. So chemical stimulants can help, in the regard of getting into pup headspace. I personally do not do that. I know Loki doesn't personally do that.
I can't afford that shit.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, my drug of choice is alcohol and weed, but
yes.
You know.
Well, okay. So like, again, I will partake in some alcohol, but it's usually to calm my nerves more mm-hmm. so than going into headspace.
Okay.
It definitely helps get into headspace, but I can get into headspace without any stimulant.
Okay. All right. So how do you go about getting into headspace?
So a lot of things is like you try these things. You try these things with someone that you trust, like, you know, play fetch, being on all mm-hmm. fours. Being on all fours actually is a very good trigger for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. You basically go, okay, you're now on the floor on your hands and knees, and you do mm-hmm. not get up anymore. You right. literally do not get up. You cannot use your feet in the regular way that you use them.
Okay.
And a lot of times it'll take them a couple minutes, but, they'll actually start figuring out, oh, wow, this is a very interesting, thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, yes, Loki.
So to add on to that, I thought it was really cool. And like part of my courses that I did, so they started people out because there's different forms of all fours, just moving in general. So instead of like hands and knees, I've also seen like I don't recommend it for people because that shit gets painful after a while.
Oh yeah.
Because mm-hmm. your body isn't used to it. But right. I've seen people get bound like from the ankle to like the upper thigh and had like shibari wrapped around their legs, and same mm-hmm. thing with their arms, and they like wrist to I guess that'd be like the shoulder, under arm.
Wrist to shoulder, yeah.
And then they'd walk on their elbows and knees, and they didn't have any other option.
That seems very painful though.
It is, but okay. usually they start out with like really padded floors.
Okay.
Because obviously in that case you can't wear, which is another topic we're going to get into later, but mm-hmm. you can't wear like elbow pads or, you know, like mitts, because obviously you're not using your hands, and you can't really wear knee pads because there's no good way to secure them. But
okay.
over time it gets easier. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if either of you have ever heard it, because I used to partake, but there's a thing called iron fist training. Which basically what it does is it causes your bones to get denser and your skin to get denser. So it makes its own cushioning. So really? Over time doing that, you get like thicker skin and denser elbows and knees huh. over time. So you don't notice it as much.
Huh. All right. Well, that's okay. So if you're getting into headspace, since that's the subject of today's conversation, and you're being bound like that, are you in the headspace while you're being bound, or are you waiting to get, or is it just like a slow burn into the headspace?
So it depends on the situation, because again, right. this is all consensual. So like, you're not just doing this. You're not just walking up to some random person on the street and going, okay, you're going to bind me so I can't walk anymore. And I might start barking at you. Just ignore that.
Just right. Yeah. It's not a random person. I get it.
So this is all talked about well in advance. I just didn't want, you know, just some random person just to start like walking the streets and blaming us for like,
they said on off leash that I could just walk up to some guy and bark. Yeah. Like, no, please don't do that.
Please don't do that. Please.
And if you do, please tell us what happened.
Yes. If you do, please write in. Cause I really want to know.
If you're not in prison.
Yeah. If you're not in prison. Yeah. I did it to my police officer friend and he just put me in jail. I don't understand what's happening.
But yeah, so the getting into Headspace, like, yes, all of these things can be, you know, there's extremes of forms of these things where like that, you know, being the Shibari pet rope bounding. Mm-hmm. I don't know what they call it is the only unfortunate part. Because all Shibari has like a specific name when like it's like a full body thing.
Right. Yeah. There's harnesses and artistic and binding and limitations and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like a limitation bind. But anyways, basically all of this stuff, like, you know, is just some ways of getting triggered to go into that headspace. Not necessarily saying that you can be in it while it's happening. It's something that can trigger you into that headspace.
Mm-hmm.
So like you were saying, like, is it before you get bound or, you know, after you get bound, or is it in between? And I think it's all of the above. You can be in that headspace getting bound like that. You can be not in the headspace until after. You can be in it in the middle of it. So it just depends on the situation and what's going on. I don't think there's really like a cookie cutter answer to that.
Yeah, I would agree with you. There's not a cookie cutter answer to getting into Headspace. It's like anything else. I mean, it's just like getting into Headspace for work.
Yes.
Leaving work, coming home. You're getting out of one Headspace, getting into another. And I think a lot of folks, a lot of pups, a lot of furs, a lot of everybody seems to think that it's a specific thing that you have to do. But they're already doing it already in various aspects of their life. Yes. They're just not calling it that.
Correct. So yes, that is very, very true. So like, you know, when I get off of work, a lot of times, I will go home and I will make myself food. And then after I eat, I a lot of times go into pup headspace where I'm playing a video game, I'm talking with someone, or you know, talking with Loki or talking on Discord with other pups, or, you know, just on whatever. Basically, I do all sorts of things on my computer when I'm at home, and I go in and out of Headspace. Yes. But, I'm not always going, he's doing the gagging like thing, like sucking on someone.
Okay.
He thinks it needs to be more safe, not safe for work.
Oh no, we are definitely not safe for work. I mean, if you don't talk about sucking a dick, talk about sucking a dick. I don't care. You know?
Yeah. Oh, I mean, don't care. I mean, it is a thing too. So like the sexual side of pup play is you can get into the pup headspace the sexual way as well, of being that sub type of thing for that dominant person, you know, sucking dick or being on the ground while someone's, you know, more humping your face, or giving you pets while they're humping your face or whatever.
Right.
Doggy style, you know, if we're going into that. So like there's all sorts of different ways to trigger that headspace. But basically once you find that headspace, then you're more really like figuring out how to trigger it and then how to get to it again.
Okay. So do most pups in your experience have to be in a pup headspace to enjoy sex?
No, not okay. whatsoever.
Oh, well, I mean, some people are just like, they just can't. I mean, so, you know, they so have some, that one some, thing, that one kink, and that's all they can do to have sex is that kink. That's it.
Yeah. Some pups definitely aren't sexual. Some pups are sexual, and some right. pups never get into headspace. It's literally just like a fashion thing that they
okay.
that they want to do. The anonymity.
Anonymity.
Yes, that word.
See, that's the word.
I'm a yes. dumb pup. I don't know.
It's like, you're a pup. Pups don't know all the big words.
Yes, it's correct.
It's okay.
It's like Nemo when he's trying to do the
see an enemy.
See an enemy, yes. Oh, wow. Okay. So headspace, sexuality, getting into headspace, doing the sexual stuff in headspace, when it seems like there's a very strong connection between the headspace and the sexuality. Even if you're not having sex.
There can be, yes.
Okay.
Again, right. I don't want to combine those.
Well,
but in a blanketed statement, because it's very much so every pup and every handler and every relationship. Again, it is a relationship that you are working on. And it's gonna be a roller coaster no matter what you do.
Right.
You're gonna have good days and you're gonna have bad days. Even in headspace, like you'll find that some days you just can't get into headspace because you, for whatever reason your brain just won't turn off. And that's kind of like the handler can help trigger those things too when you have someone like that, or you know, a daddy or a significant other that is able to help you in that regard.
Right. Okay. So what, let's back the train up a little bit. So headspace, is it important? Do you have to be in headspace to be a pup?
No, not.
You said
not,
some of them aren't. So are they just like acting at that point or what? I mean,
yeah,
I guess.
So, okay. So you can act like a dog and it's still enjoyable. Mm-hmm. But it's more right. enjoyable when you get into that headspace.
Okay. Okay. So let me ask you a question. Have you ever been with somebody that's not a pup and then they start kind of inching their way into the puppy stuff? And then the next thing you know, they're like, this is my entire life.
Yes. Oh, yes. Very, very much okay. so.
Okay.
Actually, just one recently, I met him on Second Life, and we're he helped design my fursona, actually.
Okay.
And basically got my head thoughts basically and put them on actual paper. But he actually recently just started talking to me and actually made a full on puppy, like puppy Twitter and puppy headspace like thing, and like is now full-fledged puppy and is loving it and is like, I want more gear. I love this gear. Like, it's so much fun. I get to be all sexy like, and no one knows who I am.
Okay.
And so right. like there's definitely like a whole thing to it.
Okay. But do you need gear to get into the headspace?
No, not at all.
Okay. All right. So if I were to go to a pup mosh with no gear and act like a puppy, I'd be accepted?
Yes, you should be. If you're not, then you
then
send
don't
them
go
my
to that
way.
Pot anymore.
You, yeah. you send like... them my way and I'll have words.
Well, I prefer to be more on the handler side, more of
yes.
the caregiver, the not protagonist, but the person that takes care of the pup. I prefer to be that role. So
yeah.
maybe that's just because of my age, I don't know, or when I got into this. I think if I had gotten into this when I was younger, well, of course, if I had gotten into this when I was younger, I would have been locked up for perversion. But
there's definitely times have changed, let me tell you.
Oh, yes,
for this, and like the acceptance is a lot more so happening nowadays. And that's because people are finding the headspace and they're finding that it's not just about sex. If it was just about sex, then you wouldn't be seeing it on, you know, it's very interesting. I've been seeing it on like actual TV shows, and like I think the Masked Singer had it.
Really?
Yeah. So the Masked Singer had a bulldog on one of the seasons. I think it was the second season that they had it. And
I've never watched that show. It just appalls me.
Oh, so. it's hilarious. So anyways, this bulldog is one of the competitions, right? He's in a full gigantic like suit, like a furry suit type of thing. And then all of a sudden, all these dancers come out and they're all in pup hoods. Like legitimately a good 20 of them are all in these different colored pup hoods. And I was just like, they have no idea what they just did. like
they just legitimatized my entire fandom.
Yes. They just legitimatized like my entire being. And then also like the Carbonaro effect, he actually did a episode about love. And there's actually like a full on episode, like part of an episode where he actually visited pups and actually like did some magic for them. And they talked about like the community and like the headspace and everything. Yeah.
Interesting. So how long does a headspace usually last?
That is all over the place. It can last, you know, 5 seconds to, you know, 5 hours or, you know, 24 hours if you really are into it.
Okay.
And again, the longer you're in it, the more you're going to need that aftercare. Because the longer, again, the longer you're into that, like that scene or that play session, or that headspace, the more you're going to need that aftercare to, take care of, you know, the actual pup after they're coming out of that, because the deeper you go into it, the harder it is to come out of it.
Right.
So,
yeah. So Loki, when you're 24/7 pup, are you in headspace 24/7?
I wouldn't say I'm in like deep headspace as we referred to before. I'm kind of always half in, half out. But with my specified role, it's generally considered to be a little bit better for me to be half in, half out. That way I can still like look over people, make sure they're all right, make sure everything's taken care of, and, you know, do my duties that I've been assigned.
Okay. So just because I want to bring this up. So when I met you, Loki, you're with Canes. We were at BLFC last year, 2021. And you both had your pup hoods on, and we went up to my room to cuddle, and you both took your pup hoods off. Now, did you come out of headspace, or were you even in headspace when you were down, when you were downstairs, or what was going on there? Did you, I'm just kind of curious.
Understood. So I was half in, half out, like I am probably 85% of the day. Just mostly because it's comforting to me. Along with a few other things, but we'll get into that later when we start. Probably, well, we could probably get into that today if we go and delve deeper into aftercare. I was probably about half in, half out. But I will say the last time that I got like completely into headspace was at BLFC 2021. And Canes can attest because he saw me for like 30 minutes being fucking stupid as shit, but it's fine.
That's cool. I was like, but I mean, so, all right. So you go to a con, you go to a fur con, you got these pups running around, they got their hoods on, they got their gear on, but they're not acting like pups. So at that point, is it just kind of like a fursuit for them, or is it, I mean, explain, I mean, obviously they're not going to be in pup headspace when you're in a crowd of 5,000 furries.
Understood. So honestly, it could either be just because of, and it sounds awful, but some puppies aren't necessarily puppies. They're more using the well-known gear for like a status effect or to be liked, you know, have like a common interest or something similar to that. But I can speak from personal preference because I have really bad social anxiety. So I wear my hoods at like meets and stuff, and I can actually, you know, talk to people. I can actually, you know, interact with people. outside of it, because A, they have no fucking idea who I am, and if mm-hmm. I'm a total ass of myself for whatever reason, well, okay, well, they don't fucking know who I am. So, I mean, it doesn't matter at that point.
And that's a lot like the furry world. I mean, people that are in fursuit, you could be an entirely different person inside fursuit than you are outside of fursuit. And it's been my experience just in the furry world alone that it's great for people that have social anxiety, because you can not have to worry a fuck about anything, because nobody knows anything who you are.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, but a lot of them choose to let people know who they are, but there are a lot of furs out there that nobody knows who they are outside of suit. And, you know, I'm guessing there's a lot of puppies that people don't know who they are outside of their pup gear.
I actually got the pleasure to meet Ruppy. I don't know if you know who Ruppy is, but
I have no idea.
So Ruppy is someone that was on Tumblr, I mean, even back in the day, and has a Twitter and everything. But he's really known for the really cute puppy videos. And I'll send you some of them after this episode, and I'll show you what I mean. But it's super cute the way he is into that puppy headspace, and in those videos he, you know, it doesn't say a word, he just literally acts, and that's how he is when he's in that headspace. But again, he's not like that when he's at like a con or when he's out and about, because there's a difference to that. Like, there's, you know, a safety involved, because he doesn't have his, you know, alpha or handler with him at that time. So he, you know, basically most people don't know what he looks like either. And that's like the anonymity. I can't say that word to save my life.
Anonymity.
Anonymity.
There you go. Good boy.
Yes. So basically, like, there are some pups that literally will not show you what they look like underneath the hood, and that is okay. And Loki is one of those people, that, you know, he doesn't like having his hood off out in public when he, you know, is talking with people and doing things with people.
Well, then I feel extremely honored, Loki. I'm actually tearing up a little bit that you trust me that much. Aw, that's so sweet. You're a good boy, too. Both of you are good boys. I'm just going to say that right now. So let's get into aftercare. So you're in a headspace. You've had your playtime, your session, whatever you want to do. What is the responsibility for aftercare?
So aftercare is literally just taking care of the person that it's in any kink, really. But basically, mm-hmm. The easiest one to talk about is BDSM. So
okay.
when you're tying someone up or binding them, you obviously, as like the handler or the person that's taking charge of that, the dom, is going to be checking blood flow in the fingertips, in the foot, temperature of like their fingertips, looking at their skin, seeing if they're getting, you know, white marks or, you know, purple ligaments or, you know, anything like that that might signify that there's, you know, less circulation that needs to actually happen. And, you know, that's when a scene like stops and they take care of that. And also, if that happens, then they do aftercare as well for that, because then they know, okay, hey, he probably needs to drink more water. He might be dehydrated. And the same thing that goes with the after the session, when, you know, you've done it for 2 hours and you're, you know, bound and gagged and, you know, aren't speaking for, you know, 2 hours after the fact. You kind of need to go drink water, go to the bathroom, get some cuddles to like make sure that you're okay as a person coming out of that.
Or if you're bound to the bed for 2 hours, you're going to be stiff. You need to
move around a little bit. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
And slowly do it. Like, you can't just get up. You're going to pass out.
No. Yeah. I have a guy that comes over that is really into he likes to be restrained. He likes to be tied up. And he, the first, time we did it, he's like, I'm new to this. I'm like, okay. And I unrestrained him and he tried to jump up. I was like, stop, just lay there for a minute, move slowly. He's like, why is that important? I said, okay, we'll just try to stand up then. And he tried to stand up and he was like a rag doll. I said, that's why.
Yes.
So you really have to do that.
And
stuff.
And this is the thing too. So he gave you a little bit of a bratness to that answer. And so
he did,
and you did the right thing. Okay, just go ahead and stand up then. You want to prove me wrong? Go right ahead. That's what I love so much about brattiness.
Because, go ahead, be a dick. See, prove me wrong, right?
Prove me wrong. Like, go right ahead.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know anything.
Right, yeah.
So aftercare is very, very, very important. And in looking after them is very important. Same thing with like deprivation hoods. I don't know if you know anything about deprivation hoods.
He likes that too. So
yeah. So deprivation hoods, for audience members that might not know, is basically cutting off sight, smell, hearing a lot of times, and like some more so than others, but the actual like breathing, or you know, making it harder to breathe. But like in the safe way. Like, let's not go into, you know, suffocation. And not the song.
True. Yeah.
And not the song.
Not the song. Okay. I'm not familiar with that song, so I'm just gonna laugh and sound like I know what I'm talking about.
Is it Green Day? Suffocation.
Green Day. Wow. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, Loki's song. Yeah, he knows.
Loki's doing without his microphone on, so we're good.
He knows that song.
It's Headstrong by Trapped.
Headstrong by Trapped. That's what it is.
Well, totally wrong on both your counts.
Yes, but basically, so like, sorry, puppy headspace. Gosh darn it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Loki's definitely in the brat puppy headspace. Yes. Halfway there at least now. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. He's mm-hmm. very much so. But. definitely aftercare is definitely a thing that you want to make sure you're doing. And again, it's going to be with that individual that you're trusting to do that headspace or go into that play scene or something, kink wise. And a lot of times this is sexual, but at the same time, it doesn't have to be.
Okay. So what's your aftercare routine? If you're a long time, you know, hour or two in puppy headspace with your, I don't want to say your alpha, but I don't know, your pack, you're doing stuff. What's your aftercare?
So for me, routine? I just love cuddles. I am a very much of a cuddler.
You're a great cuddler, by the way. I'm gonna tell you that right now.
I love cuddling. I am a cuddle monster. I will soak them up for hours and hours and hours. And, lots of, you know, like petting, cuddles, you know, basically getting cared for, drinking water. I keep touching on the water thing. Because a lot of pups don't drink a lot of water when they're
a lot of furries don't drink a lot of water. So yeah, then
correct. Same thing. So they're in these neoprene head masks, right?
Right.
And they don't realize how much they're actually sweating because they're moving around, they're doing all sorts of stuff. But the ears and the mouth and like your head is where you extrude a lot of heat out of your body. And you're covering up all of that with the hood. And so making sure that aftercare is.
For all our listeners, Loki's being quite the brat.
Yes.
And Kane's is having to discipline him a little bit.
Yes.
Because he's distracting him from what he's trying to say.
Yes, very much so. I cannot ignore you, puppy.
Loki's hard to ignore.
Yes. He's super adorable.
He's very adorable. Yes. All right. Now he's nuzzling him. All right. So Loki, what's your methodology for aftercare? What do you like to do? What makes you feel better coming out of pup headspace?
Sorry. So for me, it's a little different. So how I usually come out of headspace when I'm actually in deep headspace, and Kane's could probably attest to this, I usually try to take on a little bit more responsibility. So it kind of blurs the line between deep headspace and half in, half out, and then transition out. The transition between like half in, half out, and deep headspace for me is pretty difficult. But when I take on more responsibilities, like obviously if like we're having to cut time short, right? Ripping people out of headspace fucking sucks. I can tell because I cried my first time I got ripped out for like 4 hours.
So ripping out is like something happened and you just had to come, you had to come back to reality like right now? Is that what you're talking about? Yeah.
It's instead of it gently coming out, it had to be completely like no puppy whatsoever immediately. In that situation, which I can talk about that later.
Okay.
But it was not fun. I cried for like 4 hours.
Wow.
It was not great. No, it's fine. It's a good thing because now I have an experience I can tell people and explain to them why it's not a good idea to do that.
okay. Well, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
But I usually try to take on more responsibilities, right? So when I'm in deep headspace, I don't take on my service pup roles because I know at that point I'm not mentally stable enough, I guess is the best way to put that, to take care of my duties as a service puppy. So I usually try to take on more responsibilities, like people hand me stuff to hold and watch over and things like that. And it kind of starts blurring the lines, and then going from half in, half out to completely out is not an issue. I can do that by myself and go into that type of headspace perfectly fine.
The handler or the alpha or whatever has a responsibility to help you move out of headspace.
Yes, definitely a good way to put it, because they're there to make sure you're all right. So if, say, like you're at a puppy event, right, and it's coming to an end, it's not good to just drag a puppy out, you know, onto the street or whatever. Especially if it's like warm inside and cold outside, a lot of times that shocks people out of a headspace because their body is overloaded by a physical, you know, sensation.
Right.
So it's, and that's another thing, like physical sensations can put someone into headspace. I know that we're kind of slightly off the topic about getting in headspace, but well, I know
no, that's a fine. Couple. That's a trigger.
I know a couple puppies that are into being beaten and like punched in the gut, and that puts them in headspace.
Okay.
Yeah, personally, I don't know how, but you know, you do.
Note to self. Note to everyone. Note to everyone.
Yes.
Don't just start punching dogs and trying to get them into headspace.
Don't do that. No. Get into your headspace. God.
Yeah. Like, please don't. I'm not responsible.
Why are you not in headspace yet?
It's awesome.
God. No. But again, consensual. If you're into that and that's what gets you in there, as Loki was saying, right? I mean, am I wrong? I mean, if that's what gets you where you need to be and it's consensual and that's what you want.
Yeah. I mean, that comes down to the whole like, it has to be consensual. You obviously, like we've stated, don't go up and just fucking rail someone or fucking rock their shit because you think it's going to get them in heads. Don't do that. That's really awful. Please don't hurt someone.
Well, yeah, it's all about communication. I mean, you've got to communicate. Well, I mean, if he says, I mean, I had a guy hit me up on Grindr. He says, do you enjoy choking people? And I'm like, no. Like, it works for you. It doesn't work for me. Sorry. It's, you know, exactly. Look elsewhere.
Like, exactly. That exact thing kind of happens with me and my daddy because I like being choked. Oops.
Well, but But you like it, you enjoy it, and he knows your limitations and knows where to start and stop. And so it's all about communication and knowing each other
correct.
In order to make it enjoyable for both of you.
Correct. That being yeah. said, me and my daddy don't partake in choking because mm-hmm. he, and it's not in a rude way, he's uneducated and he doesn't want to hurt me. And he doesn't want okay. to do any damage or anything, because there is a correct and incorrect way of choking. Please don't fucking collapse someone's throat. That'd be what? Awful.
Yes. Just like, don't just punch them or grab their throat. You know, there are ways to do this properly. Slam them
against the wall and rail on, right. you know.
No, don't do that. No.
It's awful.
Poor Keynes is like, oh my God, what did I get myself into?
But there is many correct ways and incorrect ways of doing things, and when it's something that could be potentially life threatening if done incorrectly, I understand why people will sway away and not do it, and that's why my daddy doesn't want to do it. He's not here, but mm-hmm. whatever. I'm over here.
He might
pointing
be listening
like
at this
right
point.
Here.
He might be listening. You know, you never know.
Potentially,
he potentially could listen. I mean, yeah. I know my husband's going to listen, so. He's going to be, what the hell did you talk about? Well, I told you what we're going to talk about.
I mean, that's fine.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's something that me and my alpha, when every occasional time when we meet, mm-hmm. that's spread far apart because, you know, things happen.
Right.
And he lives a long distance away, but mm-hmm. I still go to see him every now and then. He is actually the one that got me into choking and, you know, light impact play and things like that. Because evidently I'm a fucking horny, slutty bitch in multiple ways, I guess.
Well, you know, it's what you need to do. I mean, you know, you got to do what you got to do
correct.
To make
and
things happy.
And there's definitely, and that's the thing that a lot of people get confused about, the difference between, and we can kind of talk to that when we have a more kink generalized
yes.
statement. There is a difference between a kink and a fetish, right? And
yes.
to put it black and white, a kink makes sex more enjoyable. And a fetish, if you don't have it, you're not enjoying it at all, or you can't climax.
Okay.
Regardless if it's a mental climax, physical climax, whatever the case may be. A fetish you have to have during sex, a kink you do not. A kink makes it better, a fetish would make it a requirement for you to enjoy.
I have never heard it put that way. That is very... very intelligent to put it that way. I like that. All right. Well, Keynes, you have anything else that you like to add before we wrap this episode up, before we get out of our headspace and move on to something else?
Yes.
Poor Loki.
Loki is very, very smart. And this is why I wanted to bring him on here.
Yes.
Even though he protested a little bit because he was like, I don't know that much. I don't really
yeah.
know anything. And I'm like, no, you know a lot more than most people.
Lot.
And,
yeah.
you know,
and most pups.
Yeah. And, you know, he's also, you know, a really good friend. And so I've been enjoying like the time to getting to know him.
And
as
he's
well.
Hot as fuck, by the way. Just
That's...
if anybody ever meets him, he's hot as fuck. I mean, just
yes.
put it out there. It's like.
Actually, it's funny. So, a funny story. We were at Mr. S, getting his hood, and we're like getting it right, and we're in line to check out, and he runs off to go get something, right? And the person in front of me turns around and goes, "Oh my God, you're such a great like your puppy is so adorable."
That is not what was said.
Well, he said your puppy was hot.
Yeah. Okay.
But
to be fair,
it was just funny because he doesn't know our dynamic, and this is kind of like going to
right.
like the whole thing of asking. Don't just assume.
Right.
Same thing with don't.
Yeah. Don't assume with collars and you know things like that because like I will wear
right.
a collar and he wears a collar for a
I
different reason.
Yes.
But yeah, so basically there's multitude of different things, but yeah, just basically Headspace is very, very like wrapping up a little bit. Headspace mm-hmm. is very individualized. You're gonna have to experiment to try to figure it out. It's not necessarily something that you might get into the first couple times either. You might have to play around and get that familiarity and being, you know, in that comfort zone. Also, like being in a different area too can have an effect as well. Right. So like getting like if you're in your room, it might not necessarily be a way to you to get into that because it might not be a safe place for you to do that. But if you go to somewhere else that you feel like you're more safe, you might be able to get into Headspace more so in that regard. So again, talk with people, talk with other pups, talk to me. I'm always more than happy. Or Loki. Loki is definitely loves to talk to people. And barely
as long as it's online, right?
Yes. yeah. Online. Yes. Yeah, don't just start, you know, bombarding me at my work. If you know who I am, I will panic and run away
and hide in a corner. Yes. But, all right. Well, you've been listening to Off Leash, a definitely not safe for works podcast about puppy play, adult puppy play, kinks, etc., etc. It is an Injured Nerves audio production. I have been Barely Normal, and with me has been
Canes, bark, 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 bark,
and Loki,
bark, 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 bark. Well, be sure to join us in 2 weeks. Next subject is going to be gear. We're going to talk about puppy gear, what gear you need, if you need gear, and how to use that gear properly or improperly, if that's what you so desire.
Very sexual.
On our next episode of Off Leash. Mm-hmm.